This is the next level of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament. We've brought back the best of the best secondary school debaters from the first four tournaments. We have champions, runners-up, and impressive performers. We already know our first four quarter-finalists. Tamvita Kaushik and Deborah Bamzat qualified as far back as last week. Yesterday, Ramadan Oladipupo and Ruth Okorocha joined them. Today, we'll find out who will face Ramadan next Tuesday and who will face Ruth next Wednesday. Those two debaters will come from Group C. At the end of today's debate, we will know. Remember, we have four groups of three debaters each. The top two from each group will move on to the knockout rounds. 12 group stage matches, four quarterfinals, two semifinals, one final, one winner, 2 million naira. Yes, I've been telling you since we started on the 20th of March that we've doubled the prize money so that we can lure the past champions out of retirement. A big thank you to all our sponsors and partners who have made I Beg to Differ happen. Paystack is our headline sponsor. Suno Assurances is our associate sponsor. Obiwizi.com has prizes for all our debaters. And we have tablets for everyone who makes it into the quarterfinals from RLG Communications. We also have support from Stover Industries. They're the makers of Swiss Flower Air Freshener and Swiss Beauty and Body Care. You probably have a Swiss product in your car as you're listening to the show, or in your house, or in your office at the moment. Yes, they're partnering with us on I Beg to Differ. They're giving each of the debaters a very beautiful flower pack. And then, of course, we've got ice cream from Just Delight Non-Dairy Ice Cream. Just Delight is Nigeria's plant-based ice cream, which is why they say it's suitable for people who are lactose intolerant. And whoever is champion of champions, Just Delight non-dairy ice cream will give out free ice cream at their school, whether they've graduated from secondary school or not. So that person is going to be bringing goodies on behalf of themselves to the school if they end up winning the tournament of champions. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. And it's time now to meet our debaters. But first of all, let me introduce the judges. We have four judges joining us as always. Our first judge is an accountant in South Africa, Ronald Asiebu. Welcome back to today's debate. Our second judge is a legal practitioner in Canada, Adenike Arobonlo. Welcome. Our third judge is a doctor from the United Kingdom, Dr. Nduka Zuchi. And our fourth judge was on the show yesterday answering your questions about how they judge. We call him our chief judge because he's a real life chief. He's a product manager by day, Chief Andy Oboforibo. Now that you have met the judges and the sponsors, here is our first debater. He is the third seed here in Group C. He lost in the semi-final in August after a mishap during his presentation round, but he impressed Lagos with the way he bounced back from that and finished his debate beautifully. He's 16 years old. He has now graduated from secondary school. Nicholas Musa Okoya, welcome back.
Thank you, Ma.
Nicholas also won his debate during the first week of this tournament. His debate against Fabian Chibundu, I believe it was. Yes, it was against Fabian Chibundu. So Nicholas has one win and Fabian has one win. Now, Lagos, let me introduce you to our second debater. She's the second seed here in Group C. She was runner-up in the November 2021 edition. Emanuela Nadi, good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Lagos, here's how things stand in Group C. Musa has one win already. Fabian Chibundu, who is waiting at home, also has one win. So if Musa wins or draws today's debate, he wins the group, with Fabian qualifying in second place. But if Emanuela wins today, then all three debaters have one win each. And that means that we're going to have to add up the points that each debater got in their two debates. So the two debaters with the highest points, that those are the debaters that will qualify. Now, in the very unlikely event that they're also tied on points, we're going to check how many points they scored on rebuttals. Is that clear? Is that straightforward? Okay. All right. Now, the contestants have been told the rules, but here they are again. I'll give you a topic. One of you will be in support, one of you will oppose. You will each first get 3 minutes to present your positions, and then you each get another 3 minutes in the rebuttal round to address the points your opponent made. And finally, you'll get another 3 minutes for closing arguments. The clock is the clock. We're not going to pause it. Once it starts, it's going to keep going. Our panel of judges will score all three rounds based on number, originality of unique points made, number, quality, and originality of unique points made. If you repeat a point, your score will not increase. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation. Clarity of thought here means and a showing that you understood the topic, and eloquence of presentation. It will earn you points in style. Number of opponents' points addressed, very important if you want to win. That's of course during the rebuttal round. And then of course the strength of your rebuttal earns you high marks if you want to win. Now, since this is the group stage, if your scores are tied, there will not be a tiebreaker round. Instead, like I said earlier on, if your scores are tied, we will then, check out who has the highest wins, and that'll be Musa Nicholas, because he won his matchup with Fabian. So if Musa wins today or draws today, he wins the group. All right, now that we have gotten all of that out of the way, let's decide who supports and who opposes. I've got a coin to decide this. Emanuela, you're the highest seed, so you're going to choose either heads or tail. Musa, see, it's an actual tail, an actual head, so it's not a false coin. Actual tail, an actual head, not a false coin. So you're going to choose either heads or tails. If the coin lands on the one you choose, you're going to support the motion. If it lands on the other side, then you're going to oppose the motion. Are you ready? Call it.
Call?
Tails.
Tails. Okay, what is it? Tails it is. All right. Which means Emanuela Nadi will be supporting the motion. Now, of course, both of you already know your topic. Who's going to remind me what your topic is?
Standardized tests are effective in measuring students' abilities.
Say that again for me, please.
Standardized tests are effective in measuring students' abilities.
That's right. So Emanuela will be supporting that motion, and my good friend here, Nicholas Musokoya, will be opposing that motion. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to the Tournament of Champions. It's the final match from Group C. Who will get into the quarterfinals? Let's find out. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. Emanuela Nadi is supporting that standardized tests are effective in measuring a student's abilities. It's now time for round one, the presentation round. Let's start with the motion supporter. Your 3 minutes start now.
Everyone listening to me this afternoon would agree with me that the best way to prove that you have learned something is to perform a task based on that learning. With this, I'd love to crave the indulgence of the fire in your bellies, give a moderator, panel of judges, accurate timekeeper, my co-debater, and of course, esteemed audience. I'm Emanuela Nadi of the prestigious Vicman High School, supporting the notion we state standardized tests are an effective way of measuring students' abilities. Standardized tests are typically developed by experts in fields of education and are based on rigorous research and analysis. This allows the test to be more reliable and a valid measure for students' abilities, as they perfectly assess a wide range of knowledge and skills. They are also fair and impartial, as all students are evaluated using the same criteria. This gives us the chance for a more precise and accurate assessment of students' abilities compared to a subjective evaluation of individual teachers who may be influenced by personal sentiments and preferences. Let's not forget the fact that standardized tests provide consistent and comparable measures of students' performance across different schools, districts, and even countries. This gives room for meaningful comparisons of students' achievement and help identify areas as when more needs to be done. Hence, it's an identification tool of the strengths and weaknesses in a student's learning and helps teachers teach their instructions to meet the special needs of each child and also provide targeted support to help them improve. Coupled with the mentioned facts, and this test is instrumental in developing education policies as it determines scope and limitation in a standardized curriculum, thus defining the scope of roles and responsibilities of teachers and educational institutions. It is also suitable for benchmarking and determining best practices as it functions as a standard for determining industry practices. Most of standardized tests is used for recognizing cases of academic dishonesty. Standardized tests seems to expose academic dishonesty because of the way it systematizes and mechanizes the entire assessment procedure. This can be useful in pinning down cheaters, providing appropriate sanctions, and passing a message across the entire academic community. Furthermore, it is widely recognized and accepted by colleges, universities, and also for employers as a reliable indicator of students' abilities. This can be important to students applying to top competitive schools and also seeking employment in areas and fields that require strong academic skills. Standardized test is also used. Standardized test, while it may not be the only measure for student abilities, it is also used to provide insight into a student's learning and help identify areas where additional support may be needed. To crown it all, standardized test is used in ensuring that a student properly learns the information that is being taught to them. As if an entire class performs poorly in a standardized test, more likely than not, is an indication on the teacher's method of instruction, which helps teachers to teach more so that students can learn better and perform well in examinations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel Nadi. Well done. Great work. And right on time. Her opponent is Nicholas Musa Okoya. Nicholas Musa Okoya already has one win. Let's see how he does today. Your 3 minutes to oppose start now.
When you try to judge a blind man and a sighted man on a visibility test, is that equality? No, it is injustice. And this injustice is greatly demonstrated in a standardized test. Good day, moderator, bench of dignified judges. My time, detail, thank you, by Esinko, debater, reputable sponsors, viewers, and listeners, home and abroad. I am Musa Nicholas of Prestigious Foyer College, Keto, and I'm here to vehemently oppose the motion that states standardized tests are effective in measuring students' abilities. Standardized test is a systematic method of evaluation that gives continuous assessment conditions for all students irrespective of their background. And is this an efficient method in measuring students' abilities? No. Why? Firstly, it increases examination phobia. If standardized tests are your rulers, then examination phobia are those cracks and crevices that will make it not to work. Secondly, repetitive nature. Exams like the Unified Tertiary Matriculation Examination, UTME, have repetitive nature of their questions. And because of this, it doesn't test the ability of the student, but it tests the ability to assess shortcuts. Thirdly, character neglect. Since you can't measure a product without a package, then you can't also measure ability without attitude. That means standardized tests have been ineffective in measuring this. Leading me to my next point now, it has also helped to, it's also a bad standardized test system because of ambiguity. According to New York Times, it says that students continually giving a question to answer about a talking pineapple in a race with a giant rabbit. How can standardized tests be effective if you don't even understand the scales of your measurement? More to that, it's also a bad standardized testing system because of the neglect of paces of learning. A person may be a fast learner, a person may be a slow learner, but when both of them are given the same standardized test, this would be counterintuitive. Leading me to my next point now, it kills creativity. According to Forbes, the creativity of 5-year-olds taking a standard test was about 98%, but when they continue to take it and reach about 15-year-old, the creativity was dropped to about 5%. So from 98% to 5%, this is not a efficient method of measuring students' abilities. More to that, it's also not an efficient method because of a low self-esteem is produced. According to Vagar News, it told us about a girl who committed suicide because of a low test score. Now, how would standard tests be effective in measuring students' abilities with these deprecating standards? More to that, it's also a bad testing system because of the examination malpractice. According to dailypost.ng, in 2019, about 100 students were arrested due to examination malpractice. Now, what if those students weren't caught? And what if they are scored highly? Would that be an effective measurement in their students' abilities? Well, no. More so, it's also a bad testing system because of time wastage. Yes, about 2 weeks is spent because of standardized tests in every school session. According to a particular research on medium.com. So that means that this standard test is eating the time that is supposed to be used to measure students' abilities, which means that it is retrogressive. More so, it is also a bad testing system because of the stagnation it provides. Instead of people to pass exams to learn more, people are learning more to pass exams. And because of this, it has not provided the efficient method of scoring students. More so, it's also a bad method of testing because of, it's also an inefficient method of testing because of the stress and burnout it gives achieving students. Yes, students' abilities are measured when they are in peak condition, but these standardized tests are not enjoyed by students, they are endured by students. More so, absence of preparation materials. According to a research carried out in Inside Higher Ed in 2015, analysis stated that students from higher income families performed better and had a higher average in their scholastic assessment test, SAT, than students from lower income families. This isn't an ability test, it's an affluence test. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicholas Musa Okoye. Well done. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. We're going to take a break, a very quick break. It is less than a minute long, and then we'll come back and dive right into the second round rebuttals. And we're back. It is now time for round two. Let me remind you, Lagos, you can watch this live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. It's time now for the rebuttal round, and we'll start with the motion opposer, Nicholas Musa Okoye.
Thank you, Honorable Moderator, for this opportunity to rebut some of the points my opponents made. But let me start by saying this. Albert Einstein said that everybody is a genius. Yes, everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, then that fish will continue to waste its time thinking that it is stupid. So now I move to the points my opponents made. Firstly, my opponent says it is developed by experts. Well, experts, one of the most prominent educational experts of our time, Diane Ravitch, stated that she is against the standardized testing system of learning because It is not an alternative, it is not a substitute to curriculum and instruction. Thereby, it has been ineffective in measuring the students' abilities. In addition, my opponent also said that it is fair and impartial. Well, according to Central Trend, it says that favoritism by teachers usually gives a proportional relationship with grading. So therefore, favoritism has always been there and it will always be there irrespective of the standardized test, and it does not actually give an impartial system of measuring students' abilities. In addition, my opponent said there is comparable measures across countries. Well, in the United States, according to PISA, it says that when the standardized test was introduced into their curriculum around 2005, they dropped from their 18th position to about 34th position because of this standardized test. We're giving this pressure on students and making them not to be effectively measured by this standardized test themselves. More to that, my opponent says that it develops the strengths and consolidates the weaknesses of these students. But do you know that a feedback mechanism that is based on inaccurate results cannot stand? For example, there are other factors affecting a child's performance in the test rather than the child's performance itself. There is also punctuality to the exam, or there is mental stability, and there is character. Are all these factors measured by standardized tests? No. In addition, my opponent says that it promotes educational policies. Well, educational policies based on results carried out through standardized tests will always lead to a policy somersault. Let me explain. President Barack Obama met, when he came as a elected president, he met the NCLB, the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001 there, and he see that it does not help students. Then he changed it and reformed it into the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA. Now, all these reforms and political policies reforms and policy reformation and counter orders and instability would not affect a child positively. Most that my opponent said benchmarking best practices. Well, these standardized tests can push students to implement wrong practices. It can make them to teach to the test. It can make teachers themselves to teach to the test. It can make the students to read to the test, not focusing on the goal in the future, but achieving only short goals, thereby increasing stagnation. Not that my opponent said academic dishonesty. Well, my practice will increase, because when you are pushed to the wall by these standardized tests for not effectively measuring your ability, it will increase my practice, because people want to find a way to pass by any means possible, and this will not greatly affect a child's performance in that test. In addition, my opponent says it promotes proper learning of students. Well, it even promotes fear of learning. As I said in my presentation around examophobia, is shown by students who have this fear of standardized tests because they are not an effective method in measuring students' abilities. More to that, my opponent says that it makes students perform a task based on that learning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Musa Nicholas Okoye. Emanuela, your 3 minutes in this second round start now.
Thank you so much. All protocols duly observed. My opponent stated in his first and second point, saying that it increases examination phobia and because of its repetitive nature, it is not good. Well, I would like to tell you that it is used to assess students' progress and is also used to show improvement in the student learning in the long run because they take same tests over time. You also mentioned the point saying because of its ambiguity, it is not good for the students. It's not good for the students' learning. I would like to say that it is a way of reporting learning data of the kids, and it's also a way of creating social learning playing field for the child. You said it reduces paces of learning. Countries like America practice standardized tests, yet their economy is buoyant, and in all vitalities, they are leading. Isn't this enough proof to show that standardized tests have caused more good than harm? Well, I leave you to the answer. You also said that it keeps creativity. I would like to put it to you that Katherine Johnson, the first black woman to calculate the first spaceship to land on the moon, took quite a number of standardized tests. And what's the outcome? Look at where she is. You said it causes low self-esteem. It creates opportunities for students. Scholarship opportunities for students. Look at standardized tests like the SAT, the Scholarship Aptitude Test for students. It creates scholarship opportunities for them. Scholarship opportunities open other doors of opportunities for them. It creates job opportunities, helps them to build up CVs and other things that can be useful for them in life. You said it's increases examination malpractice. I would love to put it to you that the world is technologically advanced, and the introduction of CBT had made it easy for us to curb examination malpractice. My school is an example of a school that practices central computer-based tests, and we have used that pattern to test students on abilities, and it has perfectly worked out. They use technology now to monitor the screens of students' computers so that they will not visit other sites other than their examination sites. You said time wastage. A study by NR Council and SA Asles has shown that it is a valid predictor of student success across various academic and applied fields. You said it increases burnout of the students. Well, workload is reduced and we don't have to employ much manpower. Several costs are also saved. Look at the cost of paper. Let me take you back to a decade or two. We used standardized tests like JAMB were in written form, but now we use CBT. Hasn't it reduced employment of manpower? You said lower income facilities are not getting same test preparations as those in the higher socioeconomic levels do. Well, it does not limit them to the confines of a school premises, as it gives them greater opportunities. It gives them general knowledge across state and nation, other than teacher-based tests that limit them just to situations of a particular school or a particular state. It takes them nationwide, and if not, worldwide. Those were the points I'm able to rebuild. They're all Nicola's points, and I'm happy that I'm able to rebuild them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And right on time. Emanuela, well done. All right, we'll take another short break. When we come back, it will be time for closing. This is Nigeria Info's debate tournament for secondary school students. This is the final Group C match for the group stages. This match will determine who and who will make it into the quarterfinals next week and face Ramadan Olalekan Oladipupo as well as Ruth Okorocha. Mm-hmm. So we have the people in Group C are Fabian Chibundu, Nicholas Musa Okoya, and Emanuela Nadi. Only two of these three will make it into the quarterfinals next week. Who will they be? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. It's now time for the closing round. This time, we'll start with the motion supporter, Emanuela Nadi.
Thank you so much. Standardized test is effective in evaluating education program. Besides being useful in evaluating or assessing a student's performance, it's also used to evaluate and cross-check the curriculum. In addition, it shows student abilities and skills at a given point in his or her schooling in relation to students of same age in schools across state and nation. Mostly, it determines test norm as it allows psychologists to establish a baseline for comparison used for future research. It also does not only help teachers, but also students to develop their self-assessment skills and also to create benchmarks for their own progress. Standardized tests is also a way to reduce guesswork, it boosts productivity, it guarantees quality, and it also increases students' morale. I move on to some of my rebuttals, some of the rebuttals that my opponent tried to make in the rebuttal round. My opponent made mention of, lower income families not able to get assessment to some tests. Well, I'd love to prove it to you that it does not limit, as I've said earlier, it does not limit them to the confines of a school, of a school premises, but it's also based on general knowledge across schools and nations, and even across the world. And I also said that it takes them worldwide. I also love to say that it creates social learning field for the child. Having said all this, thank you.
Thank you very much, Emanuela Nnadi. Well done. You had 1 minute, 42 seconds left. Okay. Nicholas, you've got 3 minutes and it starts now.
Thank you, Honorable Moderator, for this opportunity to make to maintain my stance on this existing viewpoint. But I would like to start by saying this. Stephen Covey said that reducing students to their test scores is the worst form of identity theft anyone could commit. So, without further ado, I move to my point. Standardized tests give impulsive answers. Yes, standardized tests give impulsive answers because of the time duration of these tests. People who might know the answer on a good day will want to hurry up to make sure that their answers are effectively written on the paper. Therefore, those answers might be incorrect and therefore the student will be regarded as a failure. Secondly, standardized tests have an untimely nature. Yes, standardized tests are not giving any breathing space for students to improve because the consistent standardized testing is continuing to give an effective workload on these students, which might not be effective in measuring their abilities. More so, standardized tests overlook minute improvement. Yes, in a standardized testing system, grade F is from 0 to 40%. Now, if, for example, I scored 20% in the first test I take, and secondly, I scored 30% in the second test I take, it will still be graded as an F, which is not effective in measuring my ability. More to that, it disregards extra efforts. There is a limited set to answers and questions that a standardized test might have. But when somebody tries to transcend these boundaries, it will be regarded as overconfident. More to that, there is a language barrier. English may not be my first language, and if I'm given a standardized test in English, I tend to do worse than someone whose first language is English. More to that, an impairment disregard. Standardized test only measures one style of learning, and that's the visual method of learning. What about the person? If the person have a disadvantage in that style of learning, he is regarded as a failure. In addition to that, educational background differences. Yes, there are educational background differences of everybody, and giving them a standardized test in order to measure that would not effectively give an accurate prediction of that student's abilities. More to that, high stakes. Yes, in South Korea, for example, emphasis is placed on tests, and because the emphasis is placed on tests, it has led to them to be relegated to the background if by chance they did not do well, which has even led to high suicide rate. More to that, pedagogical factors. Yes, pedagogical factors. According to Wikipedia, it stated that teachers who are poorly paid will mark test scores badly. Teachers who are poorly paid will mark test scores badly. So, since when has a student's abilities been measured with a teacher's salary? More to that, it's flux of the system. A person who passed today may fail tomorrow. A person who fails today may pass tomorrow. All these fluctuations and all these destabilizations account for the ineffectiveness of these standardized tests. In addition to that, certificate over skills. We have seen countless engineers, certified engineers, who have trouble locating an engine in a car. Now, if these their abilities were effectively measured, would they have been certified? No. More to that, let me rebut some of the points my opponents made. Firstly, my opponent said that there are computer-based tests. Well, in the presence of those computer-based tests, there might be technical glitches, and this might not effectively measure the abilities of the students. In addition to that, scholarship opportunities, my opponent said scholarship opportunities. Well, Chinua Achebe got a scholarship opportunity in medicine, but he didn't follow medicine. Instead, he followed literary art. If the standardized test was effective, it would have predicted his ability and his specialization as literary art and given him a scholarship there, but it has given him a scholarship in another area that is not his specialization, which accounts for the ineffectiveness of his standardized test. In conclusion, everybody has it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicholas Musa Okoya. If I leave Nicholas, he'll keep going for 10 minutes. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back from this break, it will be time for results. Our judges are collating it at the moment as we speak. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. This is Group C, the final match for those in Group C to determine who will be facing Ruth Okorocha and Ramadan Ladikubo next week. Will it be Fabian Chibundu? Will it be Emmanuel Anadi? Or will it be Nicholas Musa Okoya? Which of these three will make it to next week? Stick around and find out.
Every day, hardworking.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to the Tournament of Champions on Nigeria Info 99.3. My goodness, what a match it has been. What a debate it has been. All right, I've got the results now from our judges. So let's take a look and see how our debaters have done. If you just tuned in, you missed Emmanuel Anadi, runner-up from 2021, face Nicholas Musa Okoya, our third-place finisher from August 2022. And they debated that standardized tests are effective in measuring a student's abilities. Emmanuel supported the motion, and Nicholas Musa Okoya opposed the motion. Now, in the presentation round, Emmanuel scored 85. Nicholas Musa Okoya scored 93. For presentation style, Emmanuel got 29. Nicholas scored 33. In the rebuttal round, Emmanuel scores 47. Nicholas 71. For rebuttal style, Emanuela got 26. Nicholas scores 34. In the closing round, let's start with Emanuela. Emanuela scores 43 and Nicholas scores 95. For closing style, Emmanuel Anadi scores 22 and Nicholas Musa Okoya scored 30. And so with 356 to 252, Nicholas Musa Okoya wins this round. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, ma.
And well done. I expected a bit more joy. Don't worry, I'm used to you guys. You see someone that wins the grand prize and they're like, yeah, this is just what I do on a Sunday morning. It's pretty awesome. Okay. Well, it means, Musa, that you are, of course, a winner of Group C. You have two wins. So that means that you have won Group C, which means that you're going to be debating next week, Wednesday, in quarter final three. And you're going to be debating against Ruth Okorocha. You'll be getting your topic this evening alongside Ruth. So again, congratulations and well done.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, Emanuela, this means you've been eliminated from the I Beg to Differ Tournament of Champions. But I need you to hold your head up because you are one of the best debaters that we have ever seen on I Beg to Differ. I'm wishing you all the best going forward. Well done. And thank you for a great debate to both of you. Okay, you can leave the studio now. We've got ice cream waiting for you downstairs. Fabian Chibundu, we cannot see you, but I'm sure that you are listening at home right now. This means that you have qualified for the quarterfinal. You'll be debating next week, Tuesday, in quarterfinal two against Ramadan Oladipupo. You're going to be getting your topic this evening as well with Ramadan. All right, Lagos, let's talk about what you've just heard. But before I come to you, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors first. Huh? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to the Tournament of Champions on 99.3 Nigeria Info.